Ruth grew up in the country of Moab and had no idea when a family from Israel moved into her neighborhood that her life was going to be changed forever. They had two sons. One of them was about her age. They fell in love and they got married, and everything was wonderful despite the fact that they were not able to have children. But about 10 years into the marriage, tragedy struck when Ruth's husband passed away. Not only him, but his brother and their father had passed away earlier. So Ruth and her sister-in-law and her mother-in-law were left without any men in the family. The mother-in-law, named Naomi, was going to return to the land of Israel. And so when she went, she encouraged her daughters-in-law to stay there in the country of Moab. One of them did, but Ruth, instead of returning to her own people, she clung to her mother-in-law, and she said, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. And your God will be my God." Ruth was giving up all that she knew, including her gods, in order to commit to her mother-in-law, Naomi. She traveled back with her to Israel. She ended up meeting a nice man named Boaz, having a son named Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who is the father of King David. This is the story of the book of Ruth that celebrates God bringing someone from a different culture, from a different religion, into the country of Israel, into the people of Israel, to worship the one true God. Apparently, in the book of Ezra, there were plenty of other people who did the same thing that Ruth did. We're looking at Ezra chapter 10 today, but I want to look just for a moment at Ezra chapter 6, verse 21. This is talking about a Passover celebration. In Ezra chapter 6, verse 21 says, "It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated himself from the uncleanness of the peoples of the land to worship the Lord, the God of Israel." This is a beautiful picture of people from different countries and different religions all joining together at one meal centered on their faith in the one true God, the Lord, the God of Israel. This is not only a picture of what happened then, but of what is happening now, of God bringing people from all over the place, from every single country, from the northern United States and the southern United States, to come together, centered on Jesus Christ, and to worship him. And right now in heaven, there are people who have been redeemed from every single tribe and tongue and nation who are bowing down before God's throne, worshiping the Lamb of God. This is the story of the Bible. God is bringing in people from all over the place, from every walk of life. God celebrates the diversity of his kingdom. But in order to enter into that kingdom, in order to join that community, something has to be given up. For Ruth, it was giving up her entire family and her gods. For these people, it was giving up the worship of their pagan gods in order to worship the one true God. In order to hold on to God, they had to give up some things. For some of them, it was more than others. So this is what these people understood, but apparently some of the leaders of Israel did not understand this principle. And instead of giving up things, they ended up taking in wives from the local area, which wasn't necessarily wrong, except for the fact that these wives refused to worship the one true God. They had joined themselves in the covenant of marriage. Some of them had had children, and when Ezra finds out about this, he's absolutely crushed. He doesn't know what to do with himself. He just falls down and weeps, and he mourns over the people of Israel, and then he confesses their sin. A group of people gather around Ezra as he is doing this, and they see what he's going through. We don't know that he necessarily gave them any instruction. Maybe they just picked it up from the tears streaming down his face. But eventually, a man named Shechaniah, he stands up before Ezra and before the people gathered around. In Ezra chapter 10, verse 2, he says this, "We have broken faith with our God and have married foreign women from the peoples of the land. But even now there is hope for Israel in spite of this. Therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and their children according to the counsel of my Lord and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God, and let it be done according to the law." Shechaniah's suggestion is that in order to restore their relationship with God, they let go of these relationships with these wives who are not worshiping the God of Israel. Repeatedly, they're called foreign women here, and I'm trying to make the point that it's not necessarily their nationality, it is their religion that is the problem in this book. And so in order for them to restore their relationship with God, he makes this suggestion that they let go of these wives. Now, this is a really difficult thing to do. I mean, they're in a marriage. Some of them have children, and it shows how difficult it is. The last verse, the book of Ezra, is so heartbreaking. It says in verse 44, "All of these had married foreign women, and some of the women had even born children." It means that there are custody issues involved. There's the heartbreak of seeing your parents separate. And the book of Ezra acknowledges how difficult this decision is. They don't come to it quickly. It's a matter of prayer. And it actually, instead of just going and doing it right away, they end up taking 3 months to make sure they look into each particular situation to make sure they're making the right decision. They investigate it, make sure that maybe they're taking care of the children and that they're just being very careful about how they follow through with this principle. But they recognize the fact that if they stay in these marriages, in these relationships, they're going to lose their relationship with God. So they have to let these marriages go. They have to separate from these wives. Jesus says that if we are to follow after him, we have to take up our cross. If we were to see someone carrying a cross in the first century, we would never say, "Oh, I really like your necklace." Because if someone's carrying a cross, it means that they've been condemned to die, and they're carrying that cross to a place where it's going to be put in the ground, and they are going to be hanged on it until they pass away. If someone's carrying a cross, it means that their life is ended. They are a dead man walking. And Jesus says, if we are to follow after him, we have to give up our entire life. Now, we don't give it up in order to gain our salvation. We don't give it up in order to earn our standing before God. Jesus has done that for us on the cross. He's already paid the price that needed to be paid. Our salvation is free. We accept it as a gift, but in order to open up our hands to accept it, Christ calls us to let go of everything else. We cannot earn it. There's no price that we can pay for it. But in order to receive it, it will cost us everything. And that means letting go of those things that are keeping us from knowing Christ. The point is not to pursue persecution or martyrdom. The point is to pursue Jesus Christ. And so we let go of anything that keeps us from him. Now, the principle is to let go of things that keep us from following Christ. The application in Ezra chapter 10 was to let go of these women who weren't worshiping the one true God. That is not the application for us today in the 21st century. In fact, if you are married to someone who is not a believer, Paul instructs us to maintain that relationship, as do whatever you possibly can to stay in it. This is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 12 and 13. To the rest, I say, and then he says, I, not the Lord, and the Lord there is Jesus. Jesus did not specifically address this, but Paul is now addressing it. He's saying that if any brother has a wife who is an unbeliever and she consents to live with him, he should not divorce her. And if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him. So if you find yourself in a marriage with someone who is not a believer, Paul is saying, do whatever you can to stay in that marriage. And he says, he goes on to say, it is for the sake of the children. So why is it so different that in Ezra chapter 10, they separate from their unbelieving spouses, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he's saying, stay with your unbelieving spouse? The difference is that the terms of our relationship with God have changed. The terms of the covenant. The people in Ezra were in a covenant which God had made with them and said, I will keep my part. My part is to rescue you from Egypt, to rescue you from Babylon. Your part of the covenant is to obey my commandments. And when they make this covenant, Moses stands up and he tells them what the Lord expects of them. And the people respond by saying, all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. They are agreeing to their side of the covenant. And since this was a legal transaction, they recorded it. Someone pulled out their iPhone and they recorded the people making this covenant.
All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do.
That is a formal making of a covenant, agreeing to their side. But we know that they were not able to keep it. Over and over, the people of Israel broke the covenant. And so they would have to come back again and once again rededicate themselves to keeping it. Because if they were to break it, they would completely lose their relationship with God. So in Ezra chapter 10, once again, Ezra stands up and tells them what they are to do. And in verse 12, all of the assembly answered with a loud voice, it is so, we must do as you have said. And since once again, they are making a legal binding contract, it was recorded.
It is so, we must do as you have said.
The people once again are giving themselves to God and saying, we are going to keep this covenant. But we know the story over and over in Scripture. The people of Israel fail. The people of Israel break the covenant until eventually God has to say, you are not capable of keeping the covenant, so I am going to keep it myself. And he sends his son down to live the life that we were supposed to live, and then to die the death that we were supposed to die in our place, to pay the penalty for us, so that God could completely fulfill the covenant on his own. And then he could offer to us forgiveness. And he could invite us into a relationship, into a covenant that couldn't be broken because it had been completely satisfied by Jesus Christ. Because of Christ, we do not have to fear losing our relationship with God. In Christ, there is no longer any fear of punishment. There is no longer any fear of death because he holds on to us so well that nothing in all of creation, in heaven or on earth, can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And because God has held on so tightly to us, because Jesus Christ gave up everything in order to invite us into a relationship with God, we now are able to give up those things that keep us from knowing God. We're able to let go of anything that might loosen our grip on God. We're so full of life that we have no death in us. We are so full of light that we do not have any darkness in us. Jesus Christ offers us living water so we don't have to go looking for it anywhere else. Jesus Christ says, "I am the bread of life," so we do not have to go searching for food anywhere else. Jesus Christ says, "I have loved you perfectly. I have made my judgment about you, and you are righteous before God." Jesus Christ says, "You belong to me, so you do not have to give yourself to anyone else." And when we realize how closely God holds on to us, that we are in his grip and nothing can separate us, that enables us to let go of everything else. So as we come to this table to celebrate what God has done, as we are reminded of the price that Christ paid on the cross, as God works that in our hearts together, we respond by saying, "We will follow Christ because of what God has done, because he has held on to us. We can let go of anything that keeps us from following Christ."